you for coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. In the current series, we're dealing with a subject that we've simply entitled, Take a Look at Your Bible. Really, this is going to be three series of eight broadcasts as we go from one end of the Bible to the other. We have dealt in following in a past broadcast with God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We had God at the time of the flood, as found in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And then we talked about God and the Egyptian deliverance, how that Moses and Aaron were sent down into Egypt by Jehovah for the purpose of telling Pharaoh to let my people go. And then on our broadcast last week, we dealt with God in the Mosaic Law. And I'd like to simply say that this Mosaic Law has much to do with what we're going to be talking about on the next few broadcasts, because we are still dealing with that period of time from Mount Sinai on down through the Old Testament. We're aware of the fact that God was in the life of the judges. And I'd like to suggest to you, as we take a look at that on the broadcast today, that you keep definitely imprinted upon your mind the fact that the period of judges in the Old Testament is indicative of the life of mortal man. You know, it's an interesting thing to note that as we look down through the span of history, we find that man had a good beginning, and then he seemed to drift away from God, and this happens time and time again. I was just reading the other day in the New Testament of where God had given his people a perfect law of liberty, as is taught in James 1 and 25, and how to begin with in Acts the second chapter, they had continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But then Paul wrote to the Corinthians some years later in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, and he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Also the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian elders as he talked to them at Miletus, as recorded in Acts the 20th chapter, that he knew that after his departing, that grievous wolves are entering among the flock, not sparing the flock, and even of their own selves would men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We understand the falling away is depicted time and time again in the New Testament Scripture. So when we're talking about God in the Judges, we're dealing with a teaching on the broadcast today that was written aforetime, really we might say for our learning. The Judges came into existence after the days that the Israelite people had come over into the land of Canaan. You recall that Moses had directed the legions of Israel through the wilderness, but Moses was not permitted to cross the river Jordan into the land of Canaan. He had sinned against God, failing to glorify God at the rock. But Joshua took the torch of leadership from the faltering hands of Moses and led the legions of Israel across the Jordan River into the land flowing with milk and honey. You remember the story of their encampment at Gilgal and how they were able to take the city of Jericho, but it took two tries to take the little city of Ai because there was sin in the camp. And how that Joshua, living for 110 years, had given a great history of righteousness in his life as a pattern for the people to follow. And when you read in the 24th chapter of Joshua in verse 15, where he said, if it seem evil to see or serve the Lord, then choose who you will serve, whether it be this God or that God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people said in the 24th chapter of Joshua, after Joshua's great oration, God forbid that we should serve other gods. But hardly had the words of Joshua and the answer of Israel gone out into the air until it fell to the ground flat. In a period of time, we understand that the Israelites like to be like the people about them. And you see, we still have that confronting us in the religious world today. I'm led to believe that people are not divided religiously today upon what the Bible teaches at all, but people are divided religiously upon what the Bible does not teach, or things that are actually found on the outside in the pattern of God's Word. It's indicative of the children of Israel in the wilderness when Moses had left them and gone up to the mount to get the law from the hand of God, that they said, we do not know what has happened to this man Moses. Make unto us a golden calf. And they pressured Aaron into doing this, and there were many who died in the camp. Well, again, after the death of Joshua, we find these people into a state of drifting. And even though the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, was before them, these people desired to look at the brightness of the beads, the brightness of the glamour that was found in the pagan worship. And so they begin to follow those things. And God would see their sin, their whoredom, as he refers to it on numerous occasions, how they would prostitute themselves, we might say, before the very nations that were about them, who were not God-fearing people, but were idolatrous people. You know, Paul made a statement in his great writing when he said, "Keep yourselves from idols." And I'm led to believe that when we think of the days of the judges, we're aware of the fact that many, many people find themselves in the same course religiously today as back in the period of the judges. But as we look at that period of judges again, we find that when God's people were steeped in idolatry, that God would then cause a foreign nation to come in and to take them captive, and they would cry unto God. And in their repentance, God would raise up a judge to bring them out of their bondage. Othniel and Ehud are two of the early judges, but the ones that we are better acquainted with are such judges as Gideon, as Deborah, as we understand Samson, and even coming down to one who is considered by many to be a judge, Samuel, as the first national prophet of Israel, brought the people out from the bondage of sin. And so what do we have the turbulence before our minds teaching us in the book of Judges? It teaches us that when God's people turned their back upon him, that he used a means that was at hand to take them into captivity and bring them to their knees. You see, there's a point that we must consider down through the Old Testament, that even though God used a foreign nation that was idolatrous to take his people into captivity. Now, this was true of the Assyrians later on, who took the 10-tribe kingdom of Israel into captivity. It was also true of Nebuchadnezzar, of the Babylonians. These people were idolatrous people, but God used those people to bring his people to their knees. But the interesting episode, when we look at the case of these kings who were idolatrous, that God also later caused destruction to come upon them. So the point that must be emphasized in the period of the judges, it was a period of drifting away from God and then crying unto God that he might bring them back. Time would not permit us on the broadcast today to deal with each judge individually. But when you think of the great story of the judges, think of how God dealt with his people. You see, the Lord is profoundly interested in his people. In fact, in 2 Peter 3:9, not alone does it include his people, but it says the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And I'm led to believe that as we look at this period of judges, we see a repetition of that was taken before our minds in history into our very lives today. So I want to say on the broadcast today, when you think of the Old Testament, think of this period of judges. Think of it indicative of what happens to God's people back there and what can happen to God's people today. You know, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ to bring you this broadcast realize so well that this period of the judges is indicative of the thinking of so many people in the world today. What are we going to do about this circumstance? The only solution that we have to this problem is a solution that God has given. The Apostle Peter sounded this forth in a very clear manner when he said in 1 Peter 4:11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified." Now let's apply this rule, that there seemed to be a failure to apply it in the day of the judges. Let's apply this rule in our lives today. When we consider a certain thing to be what we want to do religiously, let's consider what God has to do upon this subject. You see, the very first sin in the garden was simply a sin, when you begin to analyze it, in which even though Adam and Eve knew the will of God, they failed to consult God in this matter. So it is a factor of knowing what God's word teaches, It is a factor as Christians that we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. I've told audiences all over the country, and I want to state to you on the broadcast again today, because I believe it is a word of warning, and yet it's a word that we can truly live by, that when we consider any item, whether it be in religious worship, whether it be in conversion, whether it be in Christian living, let's see what God's Word has to say about the subject. You see, if we take some other individual's word, regardless of how honest that person might be, then we're placing that individual, in a sense, on par with God. If Eve had only consulted God when the serpent said, "Ye shall not surely die, but God knows that the day you eat of the fruit of the tree, you'll be as wise as He will." If she'd have talked that matter over with God, we know, as we talk to you on the broadcast today, with full assurance that God would have had the answer. So in the Old Testament, when God's people drifted away from Him, the Midianites came upon them, the Philistines came upon them, the otherites came upon them, and when they realized the circumstance they were in, they cried unto Almighty God. One factor that must always be considered when we're looking at the period of the Judges is that God always had a remnant of righteous people. And I want to say that that remnant is very apparent in the world today. Even though there be many that have turned their back upon God, even though there are many who seem to be more interested in pleasure than they do in prayer, yet there are those who follow Him faithfully. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ to bring you this broadcast realize we're human, but we understand that God's Word is divine. We point to you on the broadcast today the importance of this word in your life. If we can be a benefit to you, why don't you let us know? A card or a letter addressed to this station or to the congregation that brings you this broadcast will bring a ready response. It's been good to be with you today. Read the Judges. Benefit by their return to Almighty God.